Just think, Emmett, someday you'll be doing that, eh? Next year, we'll have Emmett try out for that group. Let's turn to the book of Acts. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to the services of First Baptist Church here in Petoskey. I am Pastor Casey Smith, and you're listening to WMKP 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. And so we broadcast, we say both call letters, not just because we should, but because sometimes the service is better heard by one or the other of the either FM or AM, depending on where you are. Well, I like the fall because it's so much cooler. You know, the other day I went out in the woods to get away from life for a bit and work on the morning message and prepare for today. And there were no bugs and no ticks, and it was beautiful in the woods. And so I recommend the woods to you right now. I haven't gotten any ticks the last several times I've been out, and very few mosquitoes where I go. Very beautiful in the woods. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll help me to have clarity of mind, and that you'll work in our hearts as we listen and think together. We pray, Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Amen. Acts chapter 3, let's go ahead and review a bit. Remember that Acts is the story of the church that God designed, created, led, and built. Remember that this church is His work, His idea, His passion, His beautiful creation, His beautiful gift to people. And whatever church is on earth should be that. It is essentially that, unless it's been hijacked by people who want to use it for themselves. And that's what we're going to be talking about today a little bit. And so, the people of Acts, the believers in Acts, then in that church, have taken Jesus' ministry as their own. Remember that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Peter tells the people at the temple that Jesus was a man approved by God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in their midst. Now they have men, the apostles, who are approved by God through miracles and wonders and signs which God did by them in their midst. And so the men, the apostles, have taken, and the church at large, has taken the ministry of Jesus for their own. That's an exciting thought. That's a big thought, but we haven't really explored well yet. But now they are loving as God loves. They are telling the truth. They are giving and praying and praying for healing for others. And so Acts is the template for us. There are some things, you know, you can't just do hobbledy-gobbledy or actually care to. When I was in college, my old Ford, I forgot what they call it. It was a larger car, but I think it was a Galaxy. What was that? Granada? I didn't hear? Yeah. I had a Granada too, but the Galaxy is the one I was thinking of. The water pump broke. And so I went to the store and bought a gasket, and they said, I can do it because I have no money. And so I read the directions that came with it, and I took everything apart, And now, once you take it apart, of course, you're stuck because you can't drive to the store and get another part. So I took it out, and lo and behold, it is the wrong gasket. And so, what do you do now? You got to have the right template. And so I just shaved it enough, and I said, I'll bet if I put this on and screw it down real hard, it'll work, and it was okay. It was an old car. I had a dent in the corner. You know, it takes some serious city driving to put a dent in every corner of the vehicle. And so one time Sharon's sister, I was visiting Sharon, of course, about Sharon's brother, but sitting in the easy chair and looking outside, and he said, a little bird just flew out of Casey's trunk. So it was a dandy. Anyhow, you got to have the right template, and Acts is the right template. The apostles' doctrine, we don't make up our own doctrine, we follow the apostles. Fellowship, we do things together. Communion, we deal with our sin and while remembering that we are the point of salvation, that we are the point of creation, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus has placed us in his church together with each other. And then prayer. Of course, we are connected to God. And so we have worship through our communion. Jesus died for us. We have worship. We're connected to God through prayer. We have knowledge that heals our hearts and gives us security. And then we have the friends from the fellowship. And so we have our four basic needs from the church. Every human has four basic needs. They are family, security, worth, and worship. You must worship something higher than you are, or you will not be happy. Well, in Acts chapter 3, then, Peter has healed the lame man, and in backwards world, that's a crime. You know, sometimes we feel like we're living in backwards world today, don't we, as we listen to the news and we see people say outrageous things. Well, he was living in backwards world. Verse 19, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore, he said to them, and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out, that so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He tells them that they must have a new heart. There has to be a change here. They're not okay. That their sins must be forgiven. Now, this is nothing new. This has been the Bible all the way from Adam. Adam needed a new heart. Jacob certainly needed a new heart. And even Judah needed a new heart. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Not Jesus, but Judah. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. From the real temple. You guys have the temple that Herod the Great built. And it's a real money maker for you. I know you like it, he says. But the real Lord of the real temple wants to send times of refreshing. The Greek word for this is anapsuxis. Now, you'll remember that forever, right? That comes from anapsyche. Oh, anapsyche. Anapsychology. That's what the word is. That's where we get the word psychology and psyche and all those things. And so Anna means new or reverse, going to change. It can mean to catch your breath, but it means more than that. It means then to have a new breath or a new heart, a new spirit. So times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, the real temple, for you, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive, that's where he is now, until the time of the restoration of all things, the end of the world, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. And so God's been predicting the restoration of the world, the renovation of the world, for the whole Bible. And sum it all up, the Father is going to send the Son to end this world and change all things. And you want to be on the right side of that, boys. Genesis chapter 3, I will restore you to me. Isaiah chapter 2, I will set up the Son's reign in Jerusalem. And Psalm chapter 2, why do you fight the Son? Let's go ahead and turn to the second Psalm a minute. This is an interesting Psalm, and it relates to what Peter is talking about. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh, against the Lord, and against his anointed. What's anointed mean in the Greek? It means Christ, and the Christos. And so, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now, this is said generically because many nations will do this, and many leaders of many nations will do this. And again, I feel like some of our politicians are trying to do that right now in America, to break God's bonds, you know, those terrible bonds of thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not, you know, the others. Those are terrible bonds to them. But what this really is about is first about Israel. Who, let's read that again. Why does Israel rage? Why did the men of Israel at the cross rage? Why did the people of Israel plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth, Herod and Pilate and Caiaphas and Annas, set themselves and the rulers took counsel together against the Father and against the Son, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us, so that we can own the money-making temple and run the world forever. That's exactly what this psalm is talking about. Now again, generically, it means every other guy that tries to do that, but it's specifically about Israel at this time. Verse 4, but he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. They did get the Son of God killed. But the Lord, well, you know, his heart was broken to see his Son die like this. He still laughed at their temerity and at their tininess, that their tiny temerity. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. What did he just say? He said, I have raised my Son from the dead. He is seated at my right hand. They have no power. They have no influence. They have accomplished nothing. Verse 7. The Messiah speaks now. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel when they refuse to let you rule them. They can't fight you. Now therefore, the psalmist goes on now, now therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Now that's a fascinating phrase, kiss the Son lest he be angry. One of the words in the New Testament for worship, which we'll be looking at tonight, is proskuneo. Again, it's not a word you're going to remember, but I like to show off once in a while. I paid a lot of money for my education and all the books that they forced me to buy. Proskuneo is to be like a canine. Kuneo, canine. To be like a canine. To lick your master's hand. Now, that sounds, kind of, well, in the world, you know. We rebels don't like to hear that kind of stuff. All of the peoples of those day would pledge obeisance or allegiance to their God by kissing their statue. And so he's saying, kiss the Son. Submit to the Son. Let the Son be your God. And he will what? Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. You see, that Peter refers to this psalm because that's what he's saying to Israel right now. He's speaking for the Father and for Jesus and saying to them, why don't you give this up? This ain't no fun. You cannot win. Just as the second psalm, all these guys had read the second psalm, but it didn't apply to them. Because they were God's people, and they were already on their way to heaven because they were born a Jew. And that, of course, is not how anything has ever worked. Well, back to Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things. Him you better hear in all things. Whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Now again, Peter's not referring to any scripture they've never heard of before. He's referring to a scripture they've often read and discussed and argued about. This is probably one of those scriptures that Jesus asked the elders about at the temple when he was 12. What's the prophet going to be like? What's he going to do? Well, let's think about that a second. What kind of a Moses, what kind of a prophet was Moses? Because it says, God will raise up for you a prophet like me. That's what Moses said. And so, what kind of a prophet was Moses? What did he do? Well, he expanded on the scripture that had been given to them already. You know, they already had a Bible when Moses came along. He just codified it and said, you know, these are the legends that God, you know, that are genuine and from God, and then put them together in books. They already had a scripture, but he expanded on the scripture and wrote new scripture like Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He led in the freeing of that people from slavery, which Jesus had just done. Moses discussed the Passover lamb. Jesus was the Passover lamb. Moses took an existing people and gave them a new culture of holiness and love that would know and please God the Father. That's exactly what Jesus has done. He has said, let me explain to you what love is. Let me explain to you what worship is. Let me tell you how to keep the law that Moses gave without, you know, doing all the little stinky things in the law. You can still keep the spirit of the law perfectly. And so he gave them a new culture of holiness. Moses led his people to the promised land of joy and fulfillment, and Jesus led his people to the church. Moses detailed the reasons for people being kicked out of the people of God. Chapter 5. If you have a discharge, if you touched a dead body, if you're sick, If you're contagious, you have to go outside of the camp. You can't be in the camp. You have to be outside the camp. Well, Jesus did exactly the same thing and talked about all the same things with different names. If you're living in sin and you refuse to get along with people, then you cannot be in the church, he said, Matthew chapter 18. And so Jesus gave the restrictions for the people of God, just as Moses had. And so Jesus is a new Moses. That may be a new thought for us, but Jesus is a new Moses helping a new people do a new thing and living in freedom instead of in slavery. Well, verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Now, you could say that those are the days of the end times, but I don't think that's what he means. I think he means the days that they're seeing right now, because he talks about what's happening right now. Verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets, and you are also the sons of the covenant. Benai Barith, our friends next door to us, are the sons of the covenant. That's what that means. Ben Barith, sons of the covenant. You are the sons of the covenant, Peter says, which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, they know that they're the children of Abraham, and they're mighty proud of it. They know the covenant promises that God made with Abraham. You're going to have kings come of you. Yes, you bet. You're going to, you're going to have control of a fantastic amount of property. You're going to, and on and on and on. See like the stars that can't be numbered. And they knew that God had promised to bless them, but they had forgotten, I will make you a blessing. And don't we Christians today expect blessing, but we don't think about being a blessing. As they had forgotten that other little promise, so sometimes we do. They have intentionally forgotten what Peter is quoting, and in your seed, Jesus and his friends, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Jews did not have missions programs. That's why God gave the church the gift of tongues, because that's what the church is going to do. They're going to go reach foreigners. Like Israel never had, not in their best days, not under David, not under Solomon, not under any of the kings, that they tried to reach foreigners. And now, Peter says, that is what God is about to do. Verse 26, but to you first, to you Jews first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, that's in the past, it's already happened, it happened, 2 months ago, sent him to bless you after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the reception into heaven. God sent Jesus to bless the Jews because he wants them to be happy. He wants them to have pleasure. He wants them to have fulfillment. He doesn't want them lingering in what they are now. In other words, he sent Jesus, who is speaking right now to you through us. Jesus hasn't visited the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but Peter has. And so Peter is speaking for Jesus. Acts 13:42 is exactly what Paul said later on to another Jewish community. Because you have judged yourselves unworthy of the gospel, we will turn to the Gentiles. And because the Lord has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles. Paul said, we're going to fulfill the Father's commission to Jesus. And here, Peter is saying exactly the same thing. Jesus has come to you with our words. We're not saying this on our own. This is what Jesus wants you to hear. We are giving you Jesus' words, Jesus' ideas, Jesus' offers. He wants you to have life, though you killed him. He is full of mercy and full of grace. Now, how does Jesus want to bless them? This phrase has often struck me. In turning every one of you from your iniquities. In turning you from your sin. That is a great blessing to be turned from our sin. Now again, today is Greek Day, I guess. And so that the iniquities is the Greek word ponera, or harmful malice. But Peter wasn't speaking Greek out of the temple. He was a Hebrew. He was speaking Hebrew. And so he would have used the word avon, or crooked actions. When we talk about being crooked, we mean illegal today. That's not what God meant by crooked back then. He meant not straight, not honest, dishonest, willing to hurt other people to get what you want. You know, this is the stone that the builders rejected. The Israel rejected Jesus from being the cornerstone of their nation because Jesus is straight. They're crooked and he's straight. And so, oh, that's what Peter is saying then. He's saying, you guys are crooked. You're not from love. You're not from honesty. You're not from helping people. You are mean. God the Father sent Jesus the Son, who sent us to bless you by turning you from your meanness. That's what he just said. Saturday I was in the church and I was reviewing the message and doing some other things, and I got a phone call on my new smartphone that I can use like a whiz. I fought smartphone for a long time. I'm still bad with them, but I can do what I have to do sometimes. Well, I got a phone call Saturday on my smartphone. And, hello, this is, this is the Social Security Investigative Agency, and a warrant has been taken out for your arrest. You need to call us, press 1 right now. Yeah. How do I do that? I know there's a keyboard on here. How do I get to it and press 1? I don't want a warrant out for me. What was going on?
Scam.
It was just a scam, wasn't it? I had about 30 seconds. This is a scam. They're just trying to get me to push 1, and maybe I'll answer some questions. Maybe you must give us your social security number. I don't know what they were going to do. I don't care. I'm not going to answer them. Because all I want to do is get my information, which a lot of people have their banking information on their smartphone, and then these guys can steal their information, their routing number, their identifications, and steal all their money. That's what they're there for. That's what they're out to do. What would you call that? I'd call that pretty mean. Call that pretty cruel. What do you do for a living? Oh, I call up elderly people and I steal all their money so that now they have nothing to live on. Well, that's a great job. You know, what a self-identity that is. You know, how do you get up and face yourself in the mirror every day? How do you justify your existence? You know? That's There's nothing, no way to justify that except that God hates you and you hate God. That's about the only justification you can make for that. Well, there are a lot of cruel people in our communities that we realize after a while. The salesman who just wants to make a sale, doesn't care if we're stuck with a bad car or a bad fridge or a bad coat or whatever it is. Just get the guy to sign the thing and pay the money. Not caring what we have, what we need, not caring anything about us. There are people in our community, people in our community who make drugs that they know will destroy lives. There are people in our community, in your community, if you're listening on the radio, there are people in your community who sell those drugs knowing they will destroy lives. There are people in your community who use those drugs, and those drugs tell them it's time for a fix. Right now. Well, I have no money. But you got to get a fix right now. And so, well, what do? Well, I guess I'll go steal some stuff. And so you break in and steal something from somebody, the innocent victim of your stupidity. Because people every day try drugs saying, well, I won't get hooked. I won't have a problem. I won't lose my health. I'll be okay. And every day people lose their health and their marriage and their family and their home. Because people have taken advantage of them and hurt them to make money. You know that there are people who sell drugs or give drugs to girls so that they can get them hooked, so that those hooked girls will now have to prostitute themselves for the guy that gave them the drugs. There are cruel, mean, nasty people all around us. What did Peter say? The Father sent the Son to bless you by turning you from your meanness. He wants to refresh your spirit. But Peter, of course, is not talking to men who make, speed or grow marijuana or, do the other crack cocaine or the other things. He's not talking to those people. He's not talking to people who break into people's houses and steal their watch. He's talking to legalists who have gone to church all of their lives and sure they're going to heaven. He's talking to people who don't understand the real meaning of the Bible. He's talking to people who have been duped, who are duping others. Those people that he's addressing have no understanding of the wonderful new life that Peter is living. Old Caiaphas goes and he meets his buddy Annas in the store. And Caiaphas says, howdy, Annas. And Annas says, howdy, Caiaphas, how's your garden coming? Okay, got any carrots? Caiaphas knows that Annas never just asks a question. Because legalists don't just ask questions. He knows that Annas wants to know how his carrots are doing to see if his carrots are better. So that Annas can go to other people and tell them, Caiaphas's carrots aren't doing so well. You know that God is not blessing Caiaphas very much right now. God doesn't like Caiaphas. You joke. But I'm telling you that I have known at least half a dozen people in my churches for whom every conversation was exactly like that. Fake questions in order to do some nefarious thing that all through our society and sometimes in churches, there are people who are all the time about getting a step up and getting an edge on somebody else and getting it over on somebody else. If they never rob anything, but they will gossip about them, they'll talk about them, they'll try to get them fired from some position because they are mean. What did God offer them? God sent Jesus to bless those people by turning them from their meanness. When Peter's talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he's talking really to the drug seller of his day, because those legalists or licentious, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those people are intentionally leading people away from God so that they can make money off of them. He is making a serious offer to them. God wants to bless you by turning you from your meanness. And so today I ask you, who are you today? Are you the wounded or the wounder? Sometimes we're both, really. We're always both. Are you the buyer or the seller? Are you the gossiper or the victim? God has sent Jesus to bless you by turning you from your meanness. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. Peter said, in Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this formerly lame man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Jesus has given this formerly lame man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And that is what God wants for you, perfect soundness in your heart where it comes. Let God refresh your spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful offer to us. Heavenly Father, let us not throw rocks at drug sellers or drug makers or drug addicts. Heavenly Father, let us realize that you have sent your Son to turn each of us from those little meannesses that we do, those little selfish acts that we perpetrate. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be refreshed by asking for forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we know that there are many, many hundreds of people within the sound of this radio broadcast who are making drugs or selling drugs or using drugs, who are prostituting themselves or prostituting others, who are pushing harmful habits on other people, whether it be gambling or alcoholism, or whatever, Heavenly Father, even now, help them to understand the offer that is made to them this day, because you are an eternal God, and people have always had this problem, and there's always been this solution. Heavenly Father, teach us to pray. Give up those things that are integrally lies. Turn to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.